TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Just never mind. Thought maybe I'd come up with some funny quip about trading mayonnaise for something, but no, just whatever. Who cares? Who needs it? No Bills trades. Reaction. 803-0550, the number. Sabres in Utah tonight. Here is Danielle. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, how are you guys this afternoon?
Good. Thank you for calling us.
I just was calling because I was listening to the other caller talk about the need for a wide receiver in order to beat the Chiefs. And I just want to respectfully disagree. I think when you see the Chiefs being beat in the postseason, we've seen it. I know the Bengals game, but I'm specifically thinking of the Eagles, Super Bowl, and Tampa. The way that they won those games is because they were all over Patrick Mahomes. And so while I would have loved a receiver, I think it would have been helpful. I think when you look at those blueprints, to me, it made more sense to try to get a defensive end or D-line, flashy D-lineman rather than to get the receiver. And I think that's what Bean's sort of leaning into. You know, obviously we don't know what calls were made. And then my little hot take here is maybe beating the Chiefs in the regular season was finally what actually helps to beat them in the postseason because maybe they don't make it into the postseason. Thank you so much, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Sure. Nice to hear from you. I think – they've leaned into trying to build a defense to do what the Eagles and Tampa did to the Chiefs in Super Bowls since the 2020 AFC Championship game loss. That has been maybe front and center. They used every premium asset. They did use Kincaid and Coleman, like their top assets in back-to-back years, on pass catchers, if not, you know, not actual receivers in both cases, but still. And they've not ever gotten there. I would say that this past Sunday was as close as they've come to looking like they could do that. Disrupt, especially up the middle, the way Hoyt was being used. But now that's, to me, pretty seriously compromised by both Oliver and Hoyt being out for the balance of the season here. Hoyt gone until next year. Oliver may be back if they get a rematch with the Chiefs or anybody in the playoffs. So they've been working at that for 5 years now and have not ever really gotten there. There's some bad luck in there because Von Miller looked to be tracking towards being someone who could do that for them, and then he got hurt. And they've had other injuries and yada, yada. But the last 2 years is where I'm here to tell you again, the last 2 years they needed one more play from their offense in spots against the Chiefs, where their defense was terrible and got run over, but they were down by 3 or 4 points in both cases. 3 points in both cases, right? Or was it last year 4? I don't remember.
3.
Either way, you're a field goal away from tying, a touchdown away from taking the lead in the closing stages of the fourth quarter, and they did not have one more play. And that's where having Brian Thomas Jr. at your disposal, or Rashid Shaheed for the whole game even, I don't know that he's going to be my go-to guy on a fourth down or something in the AFC title game, but they have not had enough to make one more play there. And you know, you sometimes will say back to me that, you know, it's maybe not fair to ask the offense for more in games where they have performed so well. And I might be guilty of just looking at the final sequence of the game and saying that's what cost me the game. I just know that they have been of a mind to build the defense to disrupt Mahomes and have missed badly on it until Sunday. And now I think maybe the key guy in that whole thing is out for the year, and they didn't do anything here to supplement the offense so they can score one more touchdown in these scenarios I'm painting, or do what they just did on Sunday to Mahomes. They lost the secret pass key they found to doing that and did nothing to supplement their team. And I don't know, that might either be egregious or ineffectual, because they'll just get there and find someone else to rush on the inside and do what Hoyt was doing, and they'll do just as well. I don't know. But I think there's a strong case to make for either of those two positions being supplemented today, and neither happened.
I don't really know. I don't want to dwell on this now because people are waiting to talk about the topic of the day here. But I just want to say about the point you make all the time about how the season's ended. Last year, fair enough, their last play got blown up. If they had somebody like you're talking about running wide open down the left sideline, I don't even think it matters. Like, Allen is flushed right, and then it ends up all out of Kincaid's hands. The year before is Allen's fault. And then the last play there is he gets blown up again and has to run to the right. And I'm not sure Davante Adams is really going to make a difference on those two plays. And those are the only two games you could possibly say this about, unless you just want to drop one touchdown into anywhere along the span of a game in the box score, like 13 seconds. You know, maybe they should have been up earlier by more or something like that. Otherwise, the Bengal game didn't end like that. 13 seconds didn't end like that. The first AFC championship wasn't even close. It's these two games, and I think in those specific instances, to me, it's just the point isn't so much I don't have wide receiver one. I did have Stephon Diggs running alone across the middle of the field in the first example. I said I didn't want to dwell on it. We can drag this out anytime you want. We've done it all summer.
It's evergreen.
They can't get Mahomes on the ground. They can't pick him off in all those playoff games. And that's the span of the game. And that's why I would say defense is more about why they lose. Mike is next. Hello, Mike.
What's up, gentlemen? How y'all doing?
Great. Thanks.
Disclaimer, I'm a huge Rashid Shaheed fan, so I was hoping they would get him. But I just wanted to just touch on the evolution or the de-evolution of this offense. I mean, back in 2020 when Josh Allen arrived on the scene, what were we doing? We were putting three receivers, four receivers on the field, winging it, throwing it, getting all these offensive touchdowns. Okay, so now we go through, Dorsey gets fired. Now we have Brady. Now we want to throw three tight ends on the field, okay? And then we want to supplement three tight ends with a bunch of guys that are probably threes as a receiver on most teams. Well, good teams anyway. I bet there's some bad teams that would want a three as their number one, but I don't think you're a Super Bowl contender if you're doing that kind of thing. So, Coleman, bust. He's a bust. Let's just be real about that. Coleman is a bust. And Samuel, he's washed. Shakir's probably your only good receiver. He's a two, playing as a one right now. And Elijah Moore's non-existent.
What are we getting at? What's the bottom line here?
When that first down needs to be made, when that touchdown needs to be made, other than, like, Dalton Kincaid, who do you trust?
Well, that's still everybody's question every day.
That's it. I don't have an answer for you other than Kincaid and Cook and Allen. I mean, I want to trust Allen. But what? But you're not wrong to say he missed in that KC home game. So I just haven't had enough. I love that you use evolution and de-evolution. I finally got around to watching the Devo documentary on Netflix, and it's great. But just hearing de-evolution today just made my day. Anyway,
was Devo short for that?
Yes, that's what the whole thing was
really
about. Yes, they were about the de-evolution of the human race.
There should have been two E's then.
Yeah, well,
like Debo.
Yeah, right.
Is he short? Is that short for something? No, I don't know. Yep. All right. Thanks, Mike. We go round and round. Mario is next. Hello.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. How are you doing today?
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Hey, I don't want to beat a dead horse too much. Obviously, little bomb didn't go.
What we're here for?
I'm guessing you might actually want to beat the dead horse.
I kind of do too. That's what today is for. Let's beat some horses.
You called us, man.
I cut the horse's head off and put it in Brandon Bean's bed. A little Godfather reference.
Well, yeah, this really took a turn.
I think the issue I have, guys, is, you know, I go back to Bean's comments before the season when he was yelling at Jeremy and Joe. And he made a point to say, you know, the receiver room is better this year than it was last year. What more do you guys want from me? So they must really think that with Palmer and now bringing in Gabe, and that might be what they want to ride with, and what they was out there wasn't that good for them to make a move. But my issue is with Bean, why does he seem hell-bent on stockpiling these picks 28 through 32 as if he's going out there and getting these players every year and then – he has no problem trading out of those spots when the draft day comes. So I don't really understand why he refuses to throw draft capital at players, even if they're a rental that can come and help your team now. I mean, you mean to tell me, I don't know if he tried, but you mean to tell me we wouldn't give up a fourth and a sixth for Myers or a fourth and a fifth for Shaheed, even if it was to get them over the hump this year? I question his ability. It used to be fire McDermott and all that chatter, and now you can see, okay, well, is the problem really with your general manager who seems to be running the Bills like he's who's the Oakland A's manager? Was it – he was Bean too, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The Moneyball guy?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, where he was all about the analytics and making sure he had enough money to build the team for the future, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's the same Bean. Maybe he's in disguise. I don't know. So just want to get your guys' take on – if you think Brandon Bean could be someone to be on a hot seat potentially if this thing kind of blows up in his face.
What would qualify as blowing up in his face? Losing like they've been losing the last few years?
I guess.
Blowing up in one's face? I don't know if that qualifies.
We're starting to sound like we're crazy. They are the Super Bowl favorites or no? What is left to say? We're starting to sound like the Bills are the Dolphins. I think, to me, we're starting to sound like we've gone mad. He would never trade out of this draft pick. He's done it. He's gone up. He's gone down. He's done it lots of times. He traded a third for Amari Cooper last year. He drafted pass catchers with his first pick two of the last 3 years. Is it about effort? It's only partly about effort. You got to execute, but we're starting to sound like we just don't remember any of those things. Mark is next. Hi, Mark.
Hey, great show, guys. This is great. Hey, one question I have is, are there any other opportunities to add a player, like, towards the end of the year? Don't some guys get bought out or quit or, I mean, get cut? Or does that ever happen? I can't remember. I know it does in the NBA. And the other thing that I'm looking at is, you know, we got a lot of guys locked in moving forward, and I mean are they looking ahead a little bit to next year and the new stadium and want to make sure that they got, you know, capital to make some moves and make sure they're putting out a good team out there? Because I feel like they're good enough right now to get, you know, definitely make the playoffs, and, you know, if things fall right, looks like they're scheming a little bit better to make it to the end, the championship again. So, you know, just want to hear if you know anything about adding players. Appreciate it.
It happens.
Yeah, it's waivers, basically. So I wouldn't expect it to be anyone impactful, but, you know, I guess conceivably it could happen.
This was Dalvin Cook 2 years ago ending up on Baltimore. Guys that just get cut, bad teams, seasons go south, and then they're waived, But I think it's a matter of order of the standings, like when you get a bid in on somebody like that. So it's, yeah, it's like what you said. You shouldn't expect to improve that way.
And like if you think the Saints are going to decide to cut Chris Olave or something, I would not expect, he doesn't fit the profile of a guy that you would do that with. I wouldn't think. If a player that was going to be impactful was going to get moved, today was the day to do it.
Absolutely. He's not getting cut. He's young and good.
Right.
Jeff is next. Hi, Jeff.
Turns out he wasn't getting traded.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Okay, Jeff. Thank you for calling.
Good. Thank you for taking my call. You're talking about beating a dead horse over the head. Tell me this. I want to know why. Okay, you remember when a few years ago when we needed a receiver and we traded for Stephon Diggs. Now, all of a sudden, Matt Hallis comes to us. Have Matt Hallis. We got Shakir. We got Curtis Samuel. When we needed those players, we got them. Then all of a sudden, we trade Diggs away. We trade Matt Hallis away. We had Worthy right there for a draft pick, and we traded him to the same team we've been having trouble with jumping over in the playoffs. Why would we do that? If we need these receivers, why would we trade them away? And then if we have a chance to get another, we trade the pick away.
They're not all the same situations, though. Is that Mac Hollins you're trying to say?
I think that's right, yeah.
I mean, is that's a thing now, is that the Bills didn't keep Mac Hollins? My Chiefs buddy, Davis Maddock, suddenly decided that he thinks Worthy is terrible.
Interesting.
I mean, you got Hairston out here being like, I didn't have to try on half the plays because Worthy was giving away that he didn't expect the ball.
Shh. Right.
I guess we'll never be able to get away from Xavier Worthy, no matter what he looks like. It's just somebody that the Bills didn't want.
They got sick of Diggs, is what happened. Really, yeah. I think. We can argue about his production being dropping off or them restricting his production. Either way, the production wasn't there, and he was a headache, is what happened. I mean, fare ye well. He did a great job the 4 years he was here for them.
Yeah, we might even be getting so far down the road on this one that we're getting right to they should have kept Stephon Diggs, which right. Hardly anyone has said since the moment he was traded. Thanks, Jeff. Andrew is next. Hi.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I know we're all kind of going through the different thoughts today. We all kind of wanted to see a trade. We saw Bean make some room on the salary cap. Personally, I was kind of hoping for something like a Harrison Phillips, but thinking about it more, I was all bought in on Olave and those types of things, but I don't think anyone has thought to ask, like, who would actually work with Josh? Like, Josh has some trust. He needs that connection, right? He needs to not just trust himself, but know that whoever he's throwing to is actually going to make the play he needs. And it takes a while for him to kind of bond with a person like...
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
that he knows he can depend on, you know, and Diggs was that guy. Mac Hollins, you know, he's crazy as hell, but he fit right in right away. But you know what I mean? I think that
There's never a guarantee that it's going to work, that the personalities are going to work, the play styles are going to work, the way a guy moves. I don't know. The biggest thing you need is someone who can get open. That's what he needs to trust. Is this dude going to line up, whether it's zone or man coverage, and beat his guy? To the point where in the second and a half that I have to decide, or the 2.5 seconds maybe I've got to decide, or if I'm buying time, whatever. But I can hit my back foot and like know that guy is going to beat his guy, and I know where he's going to be because he's good. He knows how to run this route, and just bing, there it is. That's, you know, chemistry gets developed because the talent is there. And the guy can be trusted. He's open. I'm gonna hit him near his body enough, near his hands enough that he's gonna bring it in. Shakir did not take a long time to develop that with Allen. The first time they're on the field together, he just caught everything that was near him and he trusts him. That's it. He gets open and he trusts him. You just need more of that. So whether that was Brian Thomas Jr. or Chris Olave or Rashid Shaheed, whoever. Somebody that you can, that's how the trust works. Is he good? Does he get open? That's it.
That's it. Here's Matt next. Hi, Matt.
Hi. I had a partner, business partner, who used to say, sometimes the best deal you make is the deal you don't make. And I just don't understand how people can be critical of Brandon Bean when they have no idea what was available and what was being asked of the Bills. I mean, last year they traded for Amari Cooper. They gave up a third-round pick. It wasn't like Amari Cooper was the difference maker. In fact, after the end of the season, Bills don't sign him. No one else signs him. He just sits around, you know. So I honestly don't know how people in a vacuum can comment or be critical of Brandon Bean when they have no clue what was available and what was being asked of him. Obviously, he weighed the side, you know, each side of this deal, looked at a bunch of things, and decided this doesn't make any sense because they're asking too much or they're not giving enough, or that's really just the flip side of the same thing. Mm-hmm. So that's my view, and I'd be curious to know what you think.
Thank you, Matt. I think two things about this. One, it has just become this incredible tidal wave from fans, you know, perhaps somewhat or largely spurred on by what they hear here. The station largely kind of has one view when it comes to receiver. And now you have this tidal wave of takes on how the Bills, it's the sum total. It's not just today. It's the couple of years, couple of drafts, this, and you kind of put it all together like, he just doesn't care about it as much as wide receiver. He just doesn't care about it or respect it as much as we want him to. I think it's not just today. You're right. We don't know what went down today, but we know it was nothing. And, oh, yeah, that's typical. You know, people are going to talk like that. The other thing that might be even more relevant, I just think we're all super tense about this. And even when they beat Carolina 40-9, and then pretty much rough up the Chiefs. We're like, it's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guilty of that. And I sometimes wonder, like, I guess I would think Bean once in a while would listen to the radio station. I think it's pretty clear that he does. And maybe they all do. Maybe a lot of them do. And I wonder if he, like, what he thinks this really is. Like, is this all Jeremy's fault? Is it yours or mine? Because it's just fan after fan after fan every day, even after blowout wins, complaining about this. And today it's at a peak because it's the deadline, right? Will we do this tomorrow? Oh, my God, I hope not. Will we do this just every day until the season ends? If they win a Super Bowl 10-9, will we do it the next day after the Super Bowl? Will we have megaphones at the parade? You didn't have enough. It'll be like a T-shirt or a billboard. It's the combination of different moments, opportunities that went by the wayside, and then we're just like, oh, my God, this team had better win the Super Bowl. I'm going to die.
Yep.
Touch some grass. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe. Mm-hmm. We do sound a little bit crazy, or a lot, I think. Good night for a hockey game. 6 o'clock pregame, Sabres in Utah. Back to your calls after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.